From NPR West, this is Day to Day. I'm Madeline Brand. Coming up, the week in politics with our Juan Williams. But first, New York Times reporter Judith Miller was released from jail yesterday. She served 3 months for refusing to testify before a federal grand jury investigating the leak of a CIA officer's identity. She secured her release by agreeing to appear before the grand jury after one of her sources released her from a confidentiality pledge. I'm joined now by NPR media correspondent David Folkenflik. And David, remind us exactly how Judith Miller landed in jail in the first place.
Well, that's always been a little bit confusing. Judy Miller's a Pulitzer-winning reporter, but she never wrote a word about this case. This was the case where the identity of Valerie Plame, an undercover CIA operative, was revealed in a syndicated column by Robert Novak about Plame's husband, former Ambassador Joseph Wilson. He had been critical of the Bush administration about weapons of mass destruction claims. Judy Miller had been among those apparently identified through the obtaining of documents and call logs from the White House when a special prosecutor was appointed to investigate whether a federal crime had been committed in the disclosure of Valerie Plame's identity. Novak had cited two unnamed senior White House officials in naming who she was.
So who is Judy Miller's source?
Miller's source is Louis Libby. Now, that's Vice President Cheney's chief of staff, and he's considered very influential in the White House.
And do we know if he was the source for the other reporters, Time magazine reporter Matthew Cooper or Bob Novak?
Well, Bob Novak has never talked about this case publicly. It's believed that he testified in private. Matt Cooper has, on the other hand. A number of reporters have. In fact, Judy Miller's the only reporter who resisted Prosecutor Fitzgerald's attempts to get testimony. Libby was a source for Matthew Cooper and a couple other folks. Cooper also spoke to Karl Rove, the president's influential political advisor, who is also the deputy White House chief of staff.
So why did Mr. Libby come forward and decide to release Judy Miller from this pledge?
This is one of the fascinating aspects of Miller's situation. It's not clear that Mr. Libby did exactly come forward like that. What happened was President Bush, soon after there was a grand jury appointed to investigate this question, President Bush said all White House staffers had to sign these blanket waivers releasing reporters from any obligation to keep confidentiality. A lot of journalists took that to be sort of coerced. That is, people could lose their jobs if they didn't sign these waivers, so naturally everybody signed it. But if sources were to routinely be required to sign blanket waivers, then promises of confidentiality wouldn't mean a lot. Nonetheless, what Miller's lawyers appear to have done is to go back to the lawyers of Mr. Libby and to say, did you mean it when you signed this? And his lawyer said, yes, we did.
And so now that Judy Miller will appear before the grand jury, what is she expected to say?
She's expected to talk very narrowly about her conversations in the first or second week of July 2003 with Mr. Libby about the Valerie Plame case and about the nature of his conversations with her.
And when will this investigation come to a close?
Well, the grand jury that Patrick Fitzgerald is working with is set to expire on October 28th. So he had said in court papers that the interview, the deposition involving Miller, was the very last thing he had to go on this case. One of the reasons it's believed that Miller may have come to this deal was that he had shown every sign of being willing to get a second grand jury impaneled if she had refused to testify, and he could have extended her time in jail for another 18 months for contempt of court.
And so what does this mean for Louis Libby? Does this mean that he is now under the federal microscope?
Well, I think that's right. Both Libby and Karl Rove have been in the sights of this prosecutor. It's not clear that either will ever be charged with anything. Either or both could be exonerated. But the prosecutor has to weigh whether a crime was committed. It's a pretty high bar to pass in terms of the question of disclosing a CIA operative's name. However, he could seek indictments for related charges such as obstruction of justice or perjury in terms of the buildup of this very investigation itself.
David Folkenflik is NPR's media correspondent. Thanks a lot, David.
You bet.